Welcome to the Awakening Bible Hour with D.R. Harrison. Our desire is that God would awaken the earth with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Join us now as D.R. brings this week's message, Rising Above Your Past.
We're going to preach a little bit tonight, try to encourage you, try to help you. And one of the things about having revival is we've got to get out of our past. We can't stay in our past. Amen. We all have baggage. We all have a ton of baggage. But sitting around talking about it ain't going to change nothing. You got to let it go. Jesus says he chose to remember your sin no more. That means he chooses never to remember it, so quit dragging it up. And when the devil drags it up, tell him he's a liar and tell him to go back to hell where he belongs, and you just serve God. John chapter number 8, if you found your place, say amen. Amen. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning he came again into the temple. And all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees, how many of y'all know every time, everywhere God is, there's always a Pharisee around? Everywhere Jesus was in the New Testament, there seemed to be Pharisees around. Ain't no different than today. Anywhere God's moving, there's going to be Pharisees creeping in somewhere. We'll show you what to do about that here in just a few verses. The scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman. He said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Some of you need to memorize that verse right there. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Tonight the thought is this, rising above your past. Rising above your past. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I ask you now for a fresh touch. I ask you, Lord, for a fresh anointing. Thank you, Father, for this good crowd on week number 6 to start out. I pray, Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, you give me liberty to preach. Break any bonds or chains or hindrances that try to make it hard on me. God, give me liberty, and God, may I preach my heart tonight. God, I've battled with this very thing. God, I've lived where this woman was at. God, I've been here, I've done that, got a t-shirt to prove it, and God, help me to be able to help somebody tonight. And God, may we all get past our past so you can use us to our full potential. Now, God, have your will and way in this service. Give us liberty, give us direction, give us wisdom, give us discernment, and God, we'll thank you and praise you for all you do, for it's in Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. And all God's people said, you may be seated. Tonight we find our text landing in the book of John chapter number 8. Everybody that has been in church any length of time has heard somebody stand up and teach a Sunday school lesson or preach a message out of the 8th chapter of the book of John. But tonight I want to deal with our past. Everybody in here, whether you was raised in church, whether you was not raised in church, whether you grew up in a Christian home or whether you grew up in a drunkard's home, whether you grew up as a dope head or whether you never smoked a joint in your life, whether you grew up teaching Sunday school class or tonight is the first time you've ever been under the sound of the gospel, everybody under this tent has some sort of baggage. There's things in our lives, whether you're old or whether you're a teenager, there's things that I have done, there's things things that you have done that you're ashamed of. And don't think for one second that the devil doesn't know that. He knows that even after you get saved, if he can come sit beside of you and can drag up your past and he can throw that up in your face, the Bible says in Revelation 12 that he's the accuser of the brethren both day and night. 24/7 he's going to Jesus, he's going to God, and he's accusing you to God. He's saying, hey, don't you know what Stan did? Hey, don't you know what DR did? Hey, don't you know what Nick did? Hey, what don't you know what Randall did? Hey, don't you know what Jonathan did? Hey, don't you know, God, what he did? Don't you know what Brother Cobble did, God? And God looks at him and says, I have no idea what you're talking about. All I see is my darling son's blood applied to their heart. I'm thankful that when I accepted Jesus as my personal Savior, that he put it all under the blood. I said he put it all under the blood. He washed every sin I ever committed away. He washed every sin away. I said he washed every sin away. I'm thankful I serve a God that saw me in the shape that I was, but he still loved me for who I was. But God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He knew I was going to be a dopehead. He knew I was going to be an alcoholic. He knew I was going to be addicted to pornography, yet he loved me just the same. He knew I was going to cuss him. He knew I wasn't going to live for him, but he loved me just the same. Somebody can give me praise tonight, knowing that God saw you for who you were, but he still loves you. He still died for you. He still saved you and changed you by the power of God. What kind of love is that kind of love that a man would lay his life down? God incarnate would lay his life down. He would send his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, to die for you and to die for me, knowing what we were, knowing how filthy we were, knowing how depraved we were, knowing how dirty we were, but he still loved me. I can't comprehend that, Randy. I cannot comprehend tonight. All those times I took his name in vain. All those times I cussed him. All those times I took him for granted. All those times I was laying on a back alley somewhere, but Jesus still loved me. He still died for me. He still cared for me. Thanks be to God. You can rise above your past tonight. Everybody here has baggage. This lady in John chapter 8 wasn't no different. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, the Bible says, and early in the morning he came again into the temple. And all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now I'm going to go fast, so you listen fast. Number one, we see this woman had personal condemnation. No doubt she beat herself up every day. There's no doubt every day she woke up and she said, how did I get in the shape that I'm in? Now, people don't wake up one day and say, I'm going to be a drunk. You're not born one day and say, I think I'll be a dope head in my life. You're not born one day and say, I think I'll be a homosexual in my life. You don't get up one day and think, I'm going to just start shooting up heroin. I'm going to do that in my life. The devil gradually takes you over little by little, just a little by little, just a little by little. And one day you wake up and your life's in turmoil. Your life's a mess. You're going through a divorce. You've thrown everything away. And you can look back to the very moment where the devil started wrecking your life. I can take you back to the time. I can take you back to the place where the devil started messing with me. He started destroying my life. I'll never forget it. I can take you back to the very spot where my life started going south. But thanks be to God. God don't remember it no more. Hey, 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 hey. He put it all under the blood. And that's something to be thankful for tonight. No doubt this lady had personal condemnation. Everybody in here has baggage. Now, if you say, I don't have any baggage, then guess who you are? You're a Pharisee. You showed up where God's moving at. See, the Pharisees, instead of being in the temple with Jesus, letting Jesus teach them, they were out looking for people to stone. You don't know know why some of your preachers and family and church members won't come to this? They're too busy looking for people to stone. They ain't got time to be around where Jesus is moving. Hey, that's good preaching, I tell you. You have quite a good Pharisee. They're always talking about somebody else's sin. Well, I feel pretty good all of a sudden. You know, find a good Pharisee. Find one that's always trying to correct somebody else. It's good preaching. You got to find somebody like that adulterous woman that just wants to get out of her past and get help. She'll be the very one that admits that she's made a mistake. Amen. That's good preaching. See, you ain't going to get no help from Jesus as long as you're looking at anybody else. These Pharisees were in the very presence of Jesus and could have got just as much help as the woman that had been caught in adultery, but instead they were too busy trying to throw rocks. You'll never get no help as long as you're a rock thrower. I wish I had a bag of rocks. Why can't I think of these things before I preach? Hey, go out there and get me a handful of rocks. I'm going to preach tonight. I feel good. See, you know what we got? We got a whole bunch of rock throwers. We got a whole lot of people saying, did you see what she did? Did you hear about what he did? Did you hear about what that preacher did? Did you hear about what that woman did? And instead, you need to be looking in the mirror saying, God, forgive me, for I am a sinner. Yes. Jesus is in the temple teaching. The crowd's gathering. But the spiritual FBI agents are out and about trying to find sinners. They find a woman taken in the very act. Yeah. Here we go. We got ammo. Oh, we got ammo now. Look out. Oh, that's awesome. Right there. Just bear with me. I'm going to get where I'm going. Just lay those up there, John. So Jesus is in the temple. He's sitting there. All these people are gathering and Jesus is speaking and Jesus is teaching. All of a sudden, out of the middle of nowhere, comes this lady that's caught in her personal condemnation. Imagine how embarrassed she was to be paraded in right down through the middle of town. Right up in the middle of the temple. In front of all them people. For her to be paraded by a bunch of people that supposedly should be loving her. No, the world don't want nothing to do with us. We don't show love to them. We condemn them. It's good preaching. I've said this 100 times. You're not going to win nobody by condemning them. You have to love them. Because if it wasn't for the grace of God, guess what? You'd be doing the same thing they're doing. If it wasn't for the grace of God, you'd be a queer tonight. If it wasn't for the grace of God, you'd be in a stranger's bed tonight. If it wasn't for the grace of God, you'd be drunk tonight. If it wasn't for the grace of God, you'd be smoking a joint tonight. But for the grace of God and His mercy, hey, we'd be consumed in our own sin. But thanks be to God, there's a way out of your past. It's Jesus Christ. There's a way out, honey. I said there's a way out. There's a way out. And His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. So here comes these quote unquote Christians. They're dragging this woman caught in the very act of adultery. The whole time she's hanging her head. She's being drugged and paraded down through there. That leads to number two, her public condemnation. They didn't deal with her privately. They wanted to parade her out in front of everybody. This is going to get good in a minute. Just listen. Here they are. This woman's a sinner. This woman needs somebody to love her. I said this woman needs somebody to love her. Instead, the ones that have the law go around her, make a fool out of her. Yeah. Now they bring her in front of everybody and start making a scene in front of Jesus and everybody else. And they said, when they set her, notice they set her in the midst. They say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. That means they caught her doing it. So instead of these quote unquote Christians being in the temple where they belonged, they were out looking for people having sex so they could get them and bring them in front of Jesus. Boy, that's good preaching. I know a lot of people in church like that. They're the first one to throw a stone at the preacher. They're the first one to throw a rock at somebody that's doing something for God. But they got stuff hidden in their closet. It's good preaching. Why won't some of them come here? Because Jesus will expose their sin. See, these Pharisees thought they was going to get Jesus. They thought they was going to catch him. They thought they were going to set him up and cause him to do something that he didn't plan on doing. They said, now Moses in the law, it commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? So now we see her personal condemnation. We see her public condemnation. But now we see the prophetic condemnation. The scripture did say that. That's right. In God's law, it said that anybody caught in adultery should be stoned. They were throwing up scripture in Jesus' face. That's how people do it. A good Pharisee will always use the word of God to prove their point. How many of y'all know somebody that no matter where you're at or what you're talking about, they always want to talk about somebody else's sin? Raise your hand. And how many of those same people always use the scripture and the word of God to back it up? These Pharisees did the same thing. Moses said, didn't Moses command us? So not only is she beating herself up, not only is the public beating herself up, but now scripturally, she's getting beat up. They said this to tempt him, that they might have something to accuse him with. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. Right here in the margin of my old Bible that's getting fixed that I should have this week and I can't wait to get it. It's not in this Bible. But in the margin I wrote beside this, it is perfectly okay to ignore Pharisees. Yeah. Jesus did. He stooped down and wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. There's nothing wrong with somebody that's always negative, somebody that's always putting somebody else down, somebody that's always trying to drag up somebody else's sin, somebody that's always taking a rock and throwing it at the Baptist, throwing it at the Methodist, throwing it at the church down the street, throwing it at your mama, throwing it at your babies, and they ain't done nothing for God their whole life. They won't be the first one to weep over sinners. They won't be the first one to fast over revival. They won't be the first one to stand at the door and greet nobody. It's perfectly okay to ignore them when they start their garbage. And that's what Jesus did. He ignored them. Hey, he ignored them. Why? Because he had a plan, honey, for this woman that was caught in adultery. He loved her as much as he loved me, and he loved me as much as he loved her. Hallelujah to God. Thank God for Jesus, the one that loves us just as we are. He stooped down and wrote on the ground. Now, I don't know what he wrote. Don't really matter. The part that really sticks out to me is, as though he heard them not. Jesus is ignoring them. I love that. So it's perfectly okay to ignore a good Pharisee. When somebody starts talking trash to you about this meeting, just ignore them. Don't try to win them. Don't try to change their mind. Jesus never one time in this passage tried to change the Pharisees' mind. He never got in a debate with them. He never sat them down and said, look, let's talk about this and let's see if we can change your mind. He never gave them the time of day. His focus was on the one caught in the act. Well, that's good preaching. So they continued asking him. In other words, they wouldn't leave him alone. They kept saying the same old thing over, over, and over again. He lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And that's all he said. What'd he do after that? He got down on the ground and started writing again. He's like, I don't even owe y'all this, but I'm going to stand up and say these few words, and then I'm going to go back to playing in the dirt. Next time somebody's around here and they're dragging up everybody else's sin, just look at them real quick and say, he that's without sin, let him cast the first stone. And then walk off. It'd probably do all you good to carry around a pocket full of rocks. Let it do the talking for you. Some preacher comes up to you and he starts running his mouth, start trying to be pharisaical and everything. Just reach in your pocket and do that right there and keep walking. Oh, but didn't you hear what David Harrison did over there? Didn't you hear what that daddy over there did? Didn't you hear about that? Hey, did you hear what Philip did? You know where gossip stops at? With you. No, gossip is running rampant. I talked to a preacher on Saturday, and he said, it's getting the worst I've ever seen it. It's destroying churches, people running their mouth. Hey, I'm telling you what, I never heard so much garbage in my life. But the reason gossip don't ever stop, because you keep spreading it. You're just as bad as the one talking about it. And the best thing you see, they wanted to get Jesus talking about this woman. They wanted to get Jesus to turn on this woman. They wanted Jesus to go ahead and throw a stone at this woman. And all Jesus said was, hey, boys, and he that without sin cast the first stone. Then he started playing in dirt again. It would do you good to keep your mouth shut, close your ears, and when somebody starts talking, just hand them a rock and walk off. It's good preaching. You know what I have found in 3 years of preaching, Mother? Typically the ones that listen to gossip are Pharisees too. Because they're running out of stuff to talk about. So they need somebody to feed that info to them. They need to feed the need to be able to talk and to be able to tear down, because ultimately, if they can tear down somebody else, it makes them feel more spiritual about themselves, and it eases their conscience long enough, making them think they're okay. But the reality is, they're full of dead men's bones. They have whited sepulchres on the outside, but inwardly they are full of dead men's bones, and they are raving in wolves. And what Jesus did here is what every born-again Christian should do. He should ignore them, hand them a rock, and go on playing in the dirt and let it go. Why can't we have revival? Too much of this. Preachers are the world's worst. Preachers are the world's worst. I don't want to hear it. Don't come to me if you're garbage. I don't want to hear it. I've had people in this meeting try to tell me they're garbage. And I say, listen, I'm not being mean. I don't want to hear nothing about it. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to know about it. I'm best if I don't know nothing about that stuff, because I'm here to tell you, if it wasn't for the grace of God, I'd be doing the same thing. I'd be still be in sin. I'd still be drinking liquor. I'd still be smoking pot. I'd still be sleeping around. I ain't got nothing to say to nobody other than Jesus saves. He can take your past. He can wash it in his red blood. You can come out white as snow, honey, and he can use you. If he can use me, thanks be to God. If he can use me, he can use anybody. So she had personal condemnation. She had public condemnation. Also had prophetic condemnation. They had scripture to back up what they said. Jesus just looked at them and said, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast the stone at her. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience. There's a difference between being convicted in your heart and being changed in your conscience body. Big difference. They were convicted in their own conscience and went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst, and Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman. He said unto her, "Woman, where are those thy accusers? No man condemned thee." She said, "No man, Lord." Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." She had personal condemnation, public condemnation. She also had public and prophetic condemnation. Look at what we see here. Let's go back and see this. Verse number 3. "And the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst." She come in with her head down. They came in, brought her down, and set her down. But after Jesus said what he said to the Pharisees, look in verse number 9. In the end, it says Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. Whenever you rise above your past, you ain't walking in with your head down. You ain't walking in with your head down, pouting, your lips stuck out. You ain't saying, "Woe is me." You ain't doing none of that. But when you get past your past, whenever you let your past stay where it belongs, and that's in the past, you can walk in with all confidence, not cockiness, but confidence, knowing that you are bought by the blood of Jesus. Hey, he don't remember your sin no more. It doesn't matter what you did in your past. It doesn't matter how wicked you were in your past. You can lift up your head. Hey, you've got the, you've got the living Son of God, a living on the inside of your heart. Don't walk up in this tent pouting. Don't walk up in this tent with your head down. Honey, stick your chest out and say, "I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. Yes, I know what I did. I know what I used to be, but I ain't that person no more, honey. He changed me." I said, "He changed me. I said, He changed me. I said, He changed me." Thanks be to God. He changed me by the power of God. You say, "You don't know what I've done. You don't know what I did." I ain't told a third of all I did. Ain't nobody's business. Unless God makes it their business, and I sure hope He don't. But I don't come in here with my head down, because I'm a new creature in Christ. I ain't that person no more. This is my side crowd over here. I don't know none of y'all's names, but this is my side crowd. They're watching my back over here from this side. I don't know what all y'all done in your past, but if it's under the blood, let it go. Let it go. You'll never move forward for God living in your past. Why do you think a windshield's bigger than a rearview mirror? If you tried to drive in your rearview mirror, you would go off the side of the road and you'd wreck every time. But the windshield's bigger because you're supposed to put all your attention looking forward, not looking what's behind you. Hey, it doesn't matter no more. That is past. If you're going to have personal revival, you've got to get up off of your feet, quit sitting down in the midst of the Pharisees, and say, "God forgave me. He loves me. He changed me. And it's all under the blood." Now, how do you rise above your past? It's difficult. How do you get above your past? How do you leave everything that you did, the person you was, everything you said, all the places you went? Here's what I've learned. Listen to me, because I know what I'm talking about. You say, "Every time I sit down, it just comes up in my mind." Okay? It used to do the same for me too. But whenever I went to God and I said, "God, I can't operate like this." God, right in the middle of trying to preach, "I cannot spend time dealing with my past. God, you have all power. God, if you please, will you please keep this garbage from coming into my mind?" And you'll find out, if you truly want to get past your past, you'll go a day, you'll go a week, you'll go a month, you'll go 2 months, won't even think about that stuff. It works. Trust me, it works. Now, how do you rise above your past? First of all, write this down. You've got to turn from your past. As long as you're living in your past doing the same thing you used to do, you're never going to get over your past. I ain't even preaching to you tonight. You just need to get born again. That's right. If you say you got saved and you're still running around on your wife, you're still running around doing things you shouldn't do, you're still taking God's name in vain, you're still doing all that stuff, well, you can't get past your past because you're living in your past because you're a sinner and you just need to be washed in the blood of Jesus and everything will be okay. But there's more than turning from your past than just turning from doing the sin. You've got to turn from dwelling on it. Every time we have a conversation, we can't be talking about how bad we used to be. You know what that is? That's dwelling on your past. That's dwelling on my past. And all that is giving glory to the devil. You know, every time you talk about your past, and you try to talk about how bad you were, you try to talk about all the bad things you did, all this stuff, it almost becomes a prideful effect to the devil, and the devil starts puffing himself up saying, yeah, I know you were that bad. I know you did all those bad things. You've got to turn away from your past. Quit talking about it. Just let it go. That's not who you used to be. You say, DR, the devil just keeps beating me up. He's going to keep trying to beat you up, but greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. I serve a powerful God. The devil may have some power, but God's got all power. Thanks be to God. If God can save you from it, hallelujah. Thanks be to God. He can keep you from going back to it. You got to turn from it. Here's your past over here. All of this is your past. The drugs, the sex, the alcohol, the lying, the cheating, the stealing, everything you want to think of is over here in this past. And as long as you're trying to serve the Lord over here, you got one foot over here, you got one foot back here, and every time you try to look towards Jesus, the devil tries to pull you back here. And sooner or later, you listen to me closely, if you keep dwelling in your past, you keep giving the devil glory of your past, it's not going to be long. He's going to set a trap for you, and he's going to trap you right back in the very thing God saved you out of. You've got to walk away from it. Turn away from it. Press toward the march of the high calling. Hallelujah to God. Let your past be the past and move forward for Jesus Christ. How do you get over your past? Got to turn away from it. Got to let it go. Let it go. You say, Caesar said none. You can't pull that card on me because I've lived it. I know how hard it is. But I got so much victory when God said, just turn away from it. I'm not talking about those who have been truly born again and turn away from doing it, because when you get born again, God takes the desire out of your heart to want to do that stuff again. But we have a tendency to try to live in the past and use it as an excuse that God can't use us. But that's a lie. God can use anybody. If he can use a harlot, if he can use a murderer, if he can use a drunk and a prostitute, then don't you think God can use you? Yeah, but you've got to get out of the past and start looking towards the future for Jesus Christ. Everybody here tonight put as much effort in looking towards Jesus as they did in dwelling in their past, we'd already have revival. Are there things you've done you're ashamed of? Dwelling on it ain't going to do no good for you or anybody else. The things you're ashamed of, you ain't going to help none of your friends by living in it. Got to move forward. I know there's things you're ashamed of. You know there's things I'm ashamed of. But us dwelling on and talk about it ain't doing no good. You got to move forward. Let it go. Let it go. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. What does that mean? That means you're a new person. That means you've got a fresh start. That means you've got a new beginning. So why do you want to talk about the old man? Why are you going to talk about that? See, listen, the devil wants you to live right here. God saved you right here and washed you in the blood, did he not? Yes. So if the devil can keep you right here and not moving forward, then you're ineffective for Christ. And we have so many Christians that have been born again, but they're still in the same spot they were when God saved them, because they won't let their past go. see, God's not impressed with who can give the most powerful testimony and how we can compare who was the worst. He ain't impressed with that. All God wants to hear is, I don't know why he did it. I don't know how he did it. But once I was lost, but now I'm found. Once I was blind, thank God I can see now. All I know is on May 19th, I was dead to the world. I was dead to religion. I was just a dead man walking, if you will. But on May the 20th, 2016, my eyes were opened up. The scales were lifted off my eyes. I could see light for the first time. All that stuff I had been taught growing up, it now started springing up inside of me. Why in the world would I want to live where I was at? I want to keep stepping forward. Just keep stepping forward and rising above the past. Rising above the Pharisees, rising above the Sadducees, rising above the critics, rising above the haters, and moving forward for Jesus Christ. How much more could we do for the Lord if we got out of our past? You got to turn from it. Let it go. I'm 3 years saved. 3 years. Feels like 40 years. I ain't lying to you. It feels like I've been saved and preaching for 40 years. It does. It's hard to believe it's only been 37 months since I was sitting on a bar stool. That's hard to believe. But you know how easy it is to try to live in that? To try to live in what you used to be? I know you do, because most of you are living there. You got to let it go. Turn away from your past. What's the second thing you got to do to rise above your past? You got to tune out the rock throwers. There's always going to be a Pharisee that the devil ordains to be in your life. It doesn't matter how much you try to protect yourself. They're always on times. Here's how it sounds. Well, I've never really seen a stripper get saved before. Give it just a few months. She'll be back taking her clothes off again. It's a Pharisee. Well, I've never seen a drunk really that's really been a drunk. I've never seen that guy get saved. No. He's had too much light sown in him. There's no way he really got saved. He just turned over a new leaf. He'll be back to drinking for long. He'll be back to world for long. It's a Pharisee. Well, I don't really know about all that tent stuff. All those people coming, all those different denominations. I just don't, I don't see much, nothing real in that stuff. It's a Pharisee. You know I'm right, because some of you's heard that very same thing. Well, you're not really going to see revival. You're just going down there to follow man. Boy, well, I don't really know about all that stuff. I mean, it is a different day. It is a different generation. I just don't think God can do any of that stuff no more. I just don't think. Well, you don't get paid to think. That's why you work for $5 at McDonald's, because you don't get paid to think. Listen closely. You got to tune out the rock throwers. Got to tune them out. They're going to be there no matter what you say or do. They're going to be there to throw a rock at you. And every time they throw a rock at you, if you acknowledge that they exist, guess what? They're going to keep throwing more rocks. Until they get a big enough rock that's going to hit you upside the head and get you out. And once they get you out, they're going to dance in the streets saying, I told you, I told you, I told you. I was right all along. I know I'm right. So how do you do it? You got to tune them out. Every time they throw a rock, just keep on stepping for Jesus. Every time they write a nasty article about you, just keep on stepping for Jesus. Every time you get a dirty Facebook message, just keep on stepping for Jesus. Every time they talk about you behind your back, just keep stepping for Jesus. Just keep moving forward. Every time somebody tries to call you and say, did you hear what so-and-so said? Just say, I'm not interested, and keep stepping forward for Jesus. That's good preaching. I can preach this because I've lived it since I got saved. And there were several times I started lending an ear to it. I started giving it attention. And they would have consumed me. If you lend ear to Pharisees and rock throwers, they will consume you. I know, I'm telling it right. You're not going to change them. Name five Pharisees in the whole Bible that ever got born again. Paul, Nicodemus, name three more. Come on, Bible scholars, where you at? Name three more Pharisees in the Bible that got born again. They're not there. So what does that tell me in 2019? Why in the world should I allow those dogs, if you will, to stone me to death when I'm the one doing something for God? Amen. And why would I allow them to keep me down when they're doing nothing for God? Amen. So what do? You put your eyes on Jesus Christ. You keep winning souls. You keep believing this black back book. You keep preaching the gospel and let God deal with them. Amen. That's how you rise above your past. But if you turn your ears and you start paying attention to rock throwers, they'll stone you to death. Churches are full of stoners. They'll stone you to death. You just have to keep walking. You got to keep doing what God calls you to do. If God called you, He's going to take care of you. Just keep going. Jesus didn't even pray for these Pharisees. That's true. He didn't pray for these Pharisees. He didn't even extend an invitation to them. He just said he is without sin. That's the first stone. They were convicted by their conscience, preacher. Boy, it's quiet. You got to tune out the rock throwers. How do you rise above your past? You got to turn away from it altogether. That's number one. If you ain't willing to turn away from your past, you're just gonna live in it. You got to turn away from it. Then you got to settle it in your heart. The rock throwers are gonna be there, so you just need to tune them out. Tune them out. Going for Jesus. But then number three, you got to trust Jesus with it. You got to trust Jesus with it. You got to leave it at Jesus' feet. Just like this woman that was caught in the act. Jesus said to her, listen now. He said to her, no man, Lord. And she said unto her, Jesus, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Woman, where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. What'd she do? She left it with Jesus. And trusted Him with it. All that stuff they accused her of. All of that condemnation she felt. All of that garbage they were trying to do to her. She stood up. He said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. She turned from it. She left it in Jesus' hands. And walked away from it. You don't have to trust your past with Jesus. Just give it to Him. There's things I'm ashamed of. I wish I could go back and change. But Brother Billy, I can't change it. So I've just left it in Jesus' hands. And everything's going to be all right. You can never experience personal revival living in your past. You can't have a church revival till an individual gets revived. Revival has to start in an individual. Stand up here. This church will never see revival until this man gets revival. And if he's living in his past and what he used to do, he'll never get revival. So how many people are you going to hinder from getting revival because you ain't getting revival? You've got to get past your past. But DR, it's awful. I know it's awful. Mine's awful. But you got to get past. past your past if you're going to be fruitful for God in your life. Let it go. Let it go. Turn from your past. Tune out the rock throwers. They don't be there. And there's going to be a bunch of them. There's going to be a bunch of them. When one goes by the wayside, there'll be one to pick up their mantle. And keep on throwing rocks at you. You just keep trusting it with Jesus. Let Him handle it. Jesus wrote in the ground. I don't know what He wrote. I'm not one that speculates. Some people will say they think He wrote this thing. I don't know none of that. It ain't the Bible, so I don't know what He wrote. But all I know was, is He did say, as though He heard them not. Hello? Yeah. How do I rise above my past? Turn from it. Tune out the rock throwers. Trust Jesus with it.
If you do not have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus, please visit vohministries.org to see how you can be forgiven of your sins and know that heaven is your eternal home. Also, be sure to check out our library of books, including DR's personal testimony, From a Bar to a Burden. Make any donation to Voice of Hope Ministries and you will receive this week's complete message free. Until next time, this has been the Awakening Bible Hour.